As we bring to these microphones the man who covers the Middle East for us, he's going to give us a Middle East news update, David Dolan, and he is in Jerusalem. David, I can just imagine it was an unbelievable time there for the last couple of days in Jerusalem, probably gridlock like you've never seen before with President Obama in Jerusalem and visiting other places as well. Talk to us about Obama's visit. First of all, was it gridlock, like I said, and then was there any substance instead of just simply symbolism with the president's visit?
Well, Jimmy, it was gridlock in many parts of the city at many times. And on Thursday, I walked to the Imbal Hotel, where I have a gym membership, and that's where all the White House press corps was staying, so I looked around at that. But on the way, they had the road already closed and barricaded, and they had more soldiers and policemen than I've ever seen in one place in this city in my 30 years living in the country, over 30 years. The park right below the Imbal Hotel, which is just down from the King David, where the president and his entourage stayed, was just packed with soldiers and policemen waiting to take over their postings along the street. They were hauling away any parked cars that might still be remaining on the street, towing them away. They didn't allow any on any of the streets that the president traveled on, fearing one or two could be a car bomb in disguise. And this was hours before the president actually traveled down that street. He was heading to South Jerusalem to the UN headquarters building. And I actually watched his convoy from my roof, my apartment roof, go by. I'm just a block away from the main road, Hebron Road, that he traveled on. And it was interesting, Jimmy, there was about 30 police vehicles and other security vehicles in that convoy, and none of them could be clearly marked as one carrying the president. There was no limousine or any special car. And of course, this was a deliberate security move. All the time when he traveled around Jerusalem the last from Wednesday till Friday, he was in an unmarked Israeli police vehicle, so you couldn't tell which one he was in. And that forced the hundreds of people in the intersection as I was watching the Israeli, watching this parade go by, to have to wave at each of these vehicles because nobody knew which one he was in. But as for the substance of his trip, well, there's differing opinions, but most say he certainly improved his political standing and really his image amongst the Israeli Jewish population, which, as you know, opinion polls have shown he's the least popular U.S. president here in many, many decades, actually the least since surveys began, in the 1950s. So he wanted to obviously win over the hearts and minds of more of the Israeli public. That was especially emphasized in the Thursday afternoon speech he gave at the largest convention hall here in the city, the Binyanei HaUma Hall. But of course, as was noted by the press, it was packed by carefully handpicked Israeli young people, for the most part students, almost all of them left-wing politically and more inclined to support some of his more dovish positions. And there was even cheering and applause with some standing when he called for a Palestinian state again, and when he said that Israel must recognize that occupation doesn't work, these sorts of things. But he started his speech, unlike earlier times, very much buttering up these students and the Israeli public that was watching on television by stressing Israel's right to exist, stressing the ancient Jewish connection to the land, and stressing that the United States, once again he's done this, will stand by Israel, will have her back, whatever comes, and noting the various security threats, especially the situation in Syria and the Iranian nuclear program that the Israeli government and public are dealing with.
You know, it seems, as you've just been talking to me, I was reminded once again, it seems that there were contradictions in what the president had to say to two different peoples, but it was brought out there in that speech there at the convention center. He said that there is a connection between the Bible and the land of Israel and the people of Israel, the Jewish state, but then he talked about occupation of the lands of Judea and Samaria. Is there an inconsistency there?
Well, I would think so, but he's, you know, only really echoing the official American government positions that go back all the way till from the 1967 war on, which is that Israeli forces should not remain in Judea and Samaria, should not build there, etc. But, of course, I just use the words Judea and Samaria. This is the biblical names for these areas. Go back 3,000 years, whereas West Bank goes only back till Jordan's annexation of 1950, which wasn't recognized by anyone in the world but Britain and Pakistan. And, you know, Judea and Samaria, by their own names, imply an ancient connection, between the Jewish people and the so-called occupied territories, and therefore presumably a Jewish right to live in those areas. And of course, the League of Nations recognized that right when it gave a mandate for Britain to set up a Jewish homeland and an Arab states around the region in the 1920s already. So he was using the usual political verbiage, but yeah, it would seem to be a bit of a oxymoron in terms of what the Bible actually has to say.
When we talk about his visit to Israel, it also included a little sojourn over into Ramallah. He met there with President Mahmoud Abbas, who is the head of the Palestinian Authority. There were some demonstrations against the president coming in. I'm not sure how much substance there was in his conversation with the leadership of the Palestinians. Did you notice anything that we ought to know about?
There was one thing, in that he had earlier stated to the Israeli press, and then he repeated it there in Ramallah, that peace negotiations should begin without any preconditions. Now, this has been Benjamin Netanyahu's position all along, that you don't have talks about the talks, you just have negotiations. And one of the issues to be negotiated is what to do about the Israeli communities in Judea and Samaria, the settlements. To stop building in them beforehand is to say before negotiations begin that they will be uprooted. That's what it implies. And for the first time, the president did state publicly that that is his position now as well. It wasn't before, but it is now, and apparently he's hoping that will be enough to get peace talks going again. He then later, Jimmy, met with Abbas a second time during a visit to Bethlehem on Friday to the Church of the Nativity. Of course, Abbas is a Muslim, but he accompanied him. And that was phenomenal, Jimmy, because we had a beautiful, sunny, warm, a very warm morning on Friday as the President and Prime Minister Netanyahu and Shimon Peres visited the grave of Yitzhak Rabin and of Theodor Herzl, and then went to the Yad Vashem Holocaust Museum, where Obama acknowledged the Holocaust and its role in Jewish history.
Well, briefly, talk to me about the conversations. Prime Minister Netanyahu, President Obama had a lot of hours of discussion on Iran, Syria, and the Palestinians. You think it advanced the cause, or were they just agreeing on what to agree on?
Well, they were pretty substantial talks in terms of time, as you noted, many, many hours that the Prime Minister and President Obama met together. So presumably they weren't just rehashing their public positions, but were really working out the fine print on what may be about to happen with Syria. We've had this week more reports of rebel activity right along the border with Israel, the Golan Heights border. The UN is no longer patrolling there because of this capture a few weeks ago of a Filipino contingent of UN troops. So the activity's increased, and an Israeli army officer this week up there stated that Israel is preparing to get involved in this conflict by having to, not because they want to, but by the conflict moving right along the border. They're actually watching these battles going on, and the rebels, who are mostly Sunni Muslim fundamentalists, are gaining the upper hand now in that area over the Assad regime. And, of course, the Iranian situation, very dangerous, the nuclear program continuing, and during Obama's speech itself, Ayatollah Khamenei is saying that Haifa, along with Tel Aviv, first time he's mentioned Haifa specifically, would be entirely wiped out if there was any military action against his nuclear program. So these are grave threats. President Obama acknowledged that in his public statements. So presumably they were doing some real work in these talks, getting down to brass tacks. But, of course, they didn't tell us exactly what they were talking about.
David Dolan in Jerusalem with a Middle East news update, and in particular, great coverage on President Obama's visit to Israel, over to the Palestinian area, then into Bethlehem, and then over into Jordan. David, thank you so much, my good friend. I appreciate it. And now maybe you can get around the city some.
Hopefully I can. Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.